Jesus. And we wash my children, and I love my children, that is silence. But Jesus, every evil voice of them speaking against my joy, my happiness, the world.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and compassions and love toward us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings you have showered upon us. Thank you for your peace and joy you have planted in our hearts and minds. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you, Lord, for healing our sicknesses and diseases. Thank you for setting us free from captivities of the enemy. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for setting us free from the power of sin and death. Thank you for the strength you have given to us to live the kind of life that is pleasing in your sight. Thank you, faithful Lord. We thank you for controlling the affairs of our lives to go in the direction of your will and purposes for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the past healing streams programs we have done on this platform. Even the one we did on Facebook. We thank you for how you have used those programs to bless many lives. Thank you for how you have touched so many lives through these healing streams programs. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for those you have delivered from untimely death through this program. Oh Lord, I ask that even today, as we will pray and apply our faith and also hear your word, oh Lord, visit us in your mighty power. Touch everyone here. Bless everyone here. Revive everyone here. Heal everyone. Deliver everyone. Transform everyone. Help everyone. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have heard this prayer. prayers, and you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to be looking at a topic before we pray. We're going to be looking at this topic that says healing follows obedience. Healing follows obedience. Healing follows obedience. Let us look at Exodus 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise the Lord. I want us to look at the same. The same verse in NLT version of the Bible. Exodus 15, 26. Carefully, okay, he said, Exodus 15, 26, NLT, he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands, and keeping all decrease, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Praise the Lord. It says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Yeah, that word heals in this verse is a present continuous word, present continuous verb, heals. That is something that is always happening. Yeah, so healing, that is divine healing from the Lord, is something that is always happening. Always happening to us. Always happening in us. Yeah, some people, they think think healing is only needed when they fall sick. Yeah, and that is where they get it wrong. They think divine healing is only needed when they fall sick. No. Our divine healing is a present, continuous operation of God in us. That is, God is healing us every second. Every second. Not even every hour, every second. There's a healing power of God that is working inside every Christian. Inside every Christian that obeys the Word of God. Inside every Christian that obeys the truth. That obeys Jesus. That obeys God's voice. There's a healing process that is happening inside them every second, whether they can feel it or not. Yeah, there's a healing that is going on inside God's children that are obedient to His word, obedient to His will. So here, God told them that He is the one who heals them. That is the one who is always healing them. And because of this, the diseases that came upon the Egyptians will not come upon them. And this makes us to understand why the Egyptians got terrible diseases from God and died. And because those diseases killed the Egyptians. They were incurable diseases, deadly diseases. So from here we can understand that God brought those diseases on the Egyptians because of their sins. And mind you, these diseases here, those Egyptian diseases, were not those 10 plagues that God brought upon them when he wanted Pharaoh to release his people. These diseases have been happening to the Egyptians even before the 10 plagues. So the Israelites, they knew about these diseases because they have been there for hundreds of years. They have been in Egypt for a long time. So they knew about the diseases of the Egyptians, how it always killed them, cut short their lives, just as today we know about deadly diseases like cancer, diabetes, terminal diseases, hypertension, what else? Stroke, cardiovascular diseases, heart diseases. There are quite many diseases that are like the Egyptian diseases today. And many of you know the names. I don't know much of the names because it's been a while I left the medical field. Yeah, so we have a lot of diseases out there that has no cure. What the doctors will tell you is that we are going to manage this for you. There's not actually a single drug or a particular drug that can take away this. So they tell you that we'll manage it for you. So which means you continue to nurse the problem till you die, so that the diseases we call diseases without cure, incurable diseases, and they also call it terminal diseases. Yeah, so those are types of Egyptian diseases. Yeah, that was the kind of diseases that God brought upon the Egyptians. So there were diseases without cure, diseases that cut short their lifespan and eventually killed them. So the Israelites, they knew about those diseases and they feared those diseases. That was why God was speaking to them in this place. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. So whenever you are in obedience, there is healing going on. Whenever your children are in obedience to the word of God, God is healing them. Yeah, so it is not until you fall sick that the healing power of God works in your life. The healing power of God is always working to ensure that you don't fall sick. So the provision of the healing covenant that we have in Jesus is not for us to be, is not for us to get. Maybe I should put it this way. It's not for us to get healing only after we are falling sick. It is for us to get healing every second so that we don't fall sick. Yeah. So, the healing power of God does not only provide cures. It provides prevention first, not cure first. I don't know if I'm getting my point. The healing power that is in Jesus provides prevention first, not cure first. Prevention first. Yeah, but because many of us have been wrongly taught in the church. Yeah, we have not really understood this scripture. So that is why you're always waiting till you fall sick, then you now go, you attend the healing program. You're waiting till you fall sick, then you now go to, then you attend a healing and deliverance program. I say, oh Lord, I am sick now, please heal me. That is childish, immature Christianity. Yeah. And that is very wrong. Yeah. It's very wrong. That is an insult to the grace of God. Yeah, the grace of God wants us to never fall sick. Yeah, so that is why the first thing it offers is prevention. Yeah, some people, they get healed today, and they share their testimonies. Which is good. Praise God for your testimony. Yet they are waiting to fall sick again and get healed again so that they can they can come and share another testimony. That is wrong. That's not Christianity. Yeah, so if you get healed now, you should never fall sick again. You should continue in health forever. That is when God is glorified. Not that you God deliver the body of Christ. Yeah, not that you get healed today and then you're waiting to fall sick so that you can get healed again and come and share testimony of healing again. That is wrong. That's not how the kingdom of God works. Yeah. So the point is that we are always in healing. We are always experiencing God's healing for those of us who are obedient to His word. And because of that, we don't fall sick. To fall sick means that you have been conquered by sickness. That's what it means to fall sick. It means sickness has conquered your health. That's the meaning of falling sick. But to be in health or to be healthy means that you are in dominion over sickness. It doesn't mean absence of sickness. To be healthy doesn't mean absence of sickness and disease. No. In fact, if you take some samples of some parts of your body and you take it to the laboratory, you will see different kinds of disease organisms, even in your spit, the spit in your mouth, even in your sheets, your feces, and then even inside your intestines, if you happen to take some samples there to the laboratory, you will see disease organisms there. So these disease organisms, they are always part of our body. Yeah, I don't know, I'm going to be talking about all this. Yeah, disease causing organisms, they are always part of our body. In fact, some are natural to the body. Yeah, but their presence does not make many of us sick. Why? Because we have a strong immune system that is suppressing the power of those diseases. Yeah. For instance, if I allow any health professional to take a sample of my blood right now, I'm sure they're going to find malaria parasites there because mosquitoes bite me a lot. Yeah, but the fact that they will find malaria causing organism in my blood doesn't mean I'm sick, because right now I'm not sick. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so there are quite a lot of disease causing organisms that move through our body every day. Yeah, but we don't fall sick because there is something else in our body that is suppressing those disease causing organisms. So which some people call immune system. I mean, which they call immune system in the medical field. Yeah. But for a Christian, I believe we have something greater than the immune system. We have the presence of God. We have the healing covenant of God. So that healing covenant makes sure that you are always stronger than the weaknesses and the sicknesses and the diseases that runs through your body. So there is healing that is going on in you every day. There is healing that is happening in you every day. In fact, not even every day, every second. Yeah. So we must understand this. Now, you can eat good food to, you know, to have a good immune system. But if you, I mean, eat good food, take vegetables, take fruits, take some herbal mixtures to have good immune system, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if you do that and you don't follow this scripture in Exodus 15 verse 26, you are going to fall sick and you might even die. Yeah, so the real immune system is obedience to the word of God. Some people think they are smart. They don't care about the word of God. They don't care about holiness. So they feel like, I'm going to use supplements. I'm going to eat good food. I'm going to take good care of my body and I will live long. But many of them today, they are in the grave. They are dead. Why? Because they don't know that there is more to living in health than eating good food, taking supplements, what else? Eating fruits, taking herbs. They thought it only ends there. So when the enemy struck them, they got diseases that could not be cured. They tried everything they knew about getting cures, but they never got any cure. And now they are in the grave. Yeah, so which shows that obedience is the real immune system. Of course, that doesn't mean you should not take care of your health. But if you do that and you don't do this one here, forget it. There's no assurance that you're going to live long. Yeah, because God is going to withdraw his touch from your life. And when the enemy comes in form of diseases, they will get you. Yeah. And they will kill you untimely. Yeah. So this is why we must be wise. And we must fear God. Yeah. So we have 4 points to talk about here. Point number one, faith is not enough. For those of you who just joined, the topic is healing follows obedience. Healing follows obedience. Point number one, faith is not enough. Let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Oh. upholding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I'm going to read it again. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. What does that mean? Apostle Paul was saying here that if you have faith in Christ Jesus, you must add to your faith good conscience. Because some people, they have separated good conscience from their faith. And because of that, their faith suffered shipwreck. That is, their faith was destroyed. Yeah. So which means their faith could no longer save them. Because they failed to add good conscience to their faith. Yeah, so faith is not enough. I know we have so many churches, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, and all they talk about is faith. 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 Have faith. Jesus is real. Your miracle is there. Your miracle will happen. Keep your faith strong. Which there's nothing wrong with that. Because even here, I talk a lot about faith. And I'll continue to talk about faith. But that is not enough. You must have good conscience toward God. Good conscience toward God. You must add it to your feet. God is not a fool. God knows your heart. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows your motives. So don't assume that God is like a machine. Yeah. And it's just the way you have a calculator and then you say 4 times 4, 16. Yeah, don't think God is like that. Just let me put this together, add this to this, then I'm going to get this. And God doesn't work like that. The kingdom of God doesn't work like that. Some people, they feel like, okay, I know what to do. I'm going to give myself 3 days fasting. I'm going to say this, speak like this, talk like this, do this declaration, pray like this, then I'm going to get the result. But they never got any results. Yeah, the thought is all about faith. I'll just say this, speak this, do that, and I'll get what I want. But many of them, they never got anything. They didn't get anything. Why? Because we are dealing with a God that is real. And not only that, we are dealing with a God that is a person, is a living being. Yeah. And he sees everything. He knows everything. Yeah. So we're dealing with a God that has a nature, that has standards, what he wants. We are dealing with a God that has his own emotions, his own feelings, though his own emotion is not like our own. Yeah, but he also has his own emotions. He gets angry. Yeah, he gets angry, he gets happy. That's the kind of God we are dealing with. Yeah, we are dealing with a God that can be pleased. We can please him, and then we can offend him as well. That is the kind of God we are dealing with. Yeah, so you are not dealing with a machine. that once I put this inside, I'm not dealing with the computer. Once I press this, press that, say this, then I'm certain I will get this from the system. No. That's not how the kingdom of God works. Yeah, so God is looking deep into your conscience, into your heart, into your emotions, into your motives, your motive behind everything. God is searching your heart, searching your heart. Yeah, so that is why faith is not enough. You must have good conscience toward God. So maybe God is dealing with you on pride, for instance. God has been dealing with you on pride, that you have pride. Humble yourself. There is pride in you. And then just put that aside and say, God, you know what? I need this from you. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Or about what God needs from you. Have you done that first? What about what God is saying you should deal with? Have you dealt with that first? Yeah, but you put that aside and you're saying, God, I need this. I just want you to do this. God might not honor your request. Yeah, because you are assuming that you are in good terms with Him when you are not. Yeah, so that is good conscience. Good conscience means that you know you are in right standing with God. You are in good page with God. You know that God is pleased toward you. Your conscience does not condemn you. Yeah, that's what good conscience means. Yeah, but some Christians, they know, because in their conscience, they can feel the condemnation that they are not doing well. They can feel it inside them. God did not create robotic animals. God created human beings that have conscience in them. Yeah. So God is not a fool. He's not a fool. He knows everything. So when in your conscience you can feel that you are not doing well, because your conscience, through the Holy Spirit, is convicting you, your conscience is judging you, and you can feel it that you are not doing well. Even though others are testifying that you are doing well, but you know inside you that you are not doing well before God. Yeah, you know there are many things you are not doing right. Yeah, but you just turn a blind eye on those things. And yet you come before God and say, God, I need your touch. I need your help. And you think God is going to honor that, honor your request. He might, and He might not. Yeah. Then why not just fix your conscience toward God? Then you can be sure that your faith will produce results. Yeah, why suspend issues that are very important to God? Personal issues about you. Why suspend those issues? Issues that God has been pointing out in your life. And God has been saying, this one, you need to correct it. That one, you need to do something. I don't want to see you behave like this again. I don't want to see you talk like this again. I don't want to see you think like this again. You have to follow my standards, my statutes. Yeah, and then you know those issues because your conscience testifies to it. But you just look away from those things. And all that you are concerned about is, let God help me. Let God bless me. What about what God wants you to do for Him? So faith is not enough. And this is the pitfall of many Pentecostal churches. What I've just talked about is the pitfall of many Pentecostal churches. Yeah. That is why many of them are going to hell. Though they speak in tongues, they pray in tongues, they cast out devils, they worship God in spirit, but they have very bad conscience toward God. And that is why many of them suffer terrible attacks from Satan. And that is why many of them are even suffering incurable diseases. And that is why many of them have died untimely. I mean, many people, even in that, in the church where they share testimonies of healing miracles, deliverance miracles, you see that they are also not having good health in those churches. And some of them, they have died untimely. So where is the God that is working miracles among them if they keep dying untimely? It shows that they are doing something that God hates. It shows that their faith lacks good conscience. May God have mercy on the church all over the world. Amen. Point number two. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience, that is incomplete obedience, is still disobedience. Let's look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. Joshua 14 verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. You can see, this was Caleb talking here. We know that story. When Moses sent 12 spies to survey the promised land, the land they were still going to enter. Yeah. But 10 out of those 12, they came back with bad reports that made the heart of the people melt. But only Joshua and Caleb stood with God. Only Joshua and Caleb stood with God's promise. Because they thought in themselves that this is the land God has promised us. And this same God parted the Red Sea. And we marched through the Red Sea on dry ground. This same God has done mighty miracles while we're traveling through the wilderness to this point. So they felt like, if God cannot destroy the giants in the promised land, why would He even part the Red Sea? fed them with manna, brought water out of the rock, and all those mighty miracles. So they told Moses that let us go up and take up this land. We are able to defeat them. We are able to destroy the giants. But the other 10 people, the other 10 spies, they said, no, 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 no. It's a suicide. It's a death sentence. These people are too giant for us. In fact, we are like grasshoppers before them. Let us not dare to make any move to fight these people. Yeah, and God was hearing those conversations. God was right there, listening. And on that day, God said, all of you who have bought the 10 spies and every one of you that followed, which was all of them, because when they had the news that there were giants in the land, the hearts of all the people melted. Which they were over, I don't know. At that time, I'm sure there are over 1 million people. Yeah, the Israelites at that time, maybe they are between 1 million or 1.5 or 2 million people. There were a lot of them. Their hearts melted when they heard the bad report from those 10 spies. But Joshua and Caleb stood with God. And they were trying to persuade the people to have faith in God. But people would not listen to them. So God condemned that generation to death in the wilderness. So God told them, he said, because all of you have manifested this unbelief, he said, all of you will never enter the promised land. He said, it's only your children that will enter. Only your children. So all of them died in the wilderness. Except those two, Caleb and Joshua. So it were those two that was left of that generation. And those two entered the promised land. Why? Because they wholly followed the Lord with their hearts. You know, today we have some Christians that they only believe some part of the Bible. They don't believe the rest part of the Bible. They only believe some part of God's word, some part of God's commands and instructions. They don't believe the rest. They don't follow the rest. They don't obey the rest. They only obey some parts. That is partial obedience. And that is equal to disobedience. Yeah, in the kingdom of God, there is nothing like partial obedience. If you cannot obey the fullness of God's commandments and instructions and truths, then it's better to not obey at all. Yeah, it is better to not obey at all, because that obedience will take you nowhere. That obedience will not take you into God's kingdom. Yeah, because it is equal to disobedience. Yeah, and that could be the reason why some of your prayers are not yet answered. Because every time God sees your heart, he sees a heart that is not fully following him, just as the hearts of those 10 spies were not fully following the Lord. Yeah. But only the hearts of Caleb and Joshua was fully following the Lord. So if you are in this category, you need to repent and amend your ways. Obey truth completely. Yeah, don't obey some part and leave some part out. Let us look at 2 Chronicles 25 verse 2. 2 Chronicles 25 verse 2. This is talking about Amaziah. He was one of the kings in Israel. 2 Chronicles 25 verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. That was the testimony of the scriptures about this man. Outwardly, physically, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Yeah, are you like that? Though people can testify that you are doing what is right in the sight of God, but your heart is not perfect. You're not doing it from a pure heart. You're not doing it with a perfect heart. Are you not like this man? Now, if you look at more other verses, you're going to see, let me read it. You're going to see that this man turned away from God eventually. Because when he was doing what is right in the sight of God, it was not with a perfect heart. Let's look at verse 14, 2 Chronicles 25, verse 14. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir. Yeah, I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. Yeah. He brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Verse 15. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Now this was the man that had a testimony in verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That was what verse 2 told us. But because even while he was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord, it was not with a perfect heart. So eventually, devil won his heart into darkness. Eventually, he ended up serving the devil. Yeah, so partial obedience is still disobedience. If you cannot obey God completely, you do not belong to the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if you only pick some part of the Bible to follow and you neglect the rest, you don't belong to God's kingdom. Now let's move to point number three. Don't expect God's compassion in disobedience. Yeah, don't forget we are talking about healing follows obedience. Healing follows obedience. And here in this point I said, don't expect God's compassion in disobedience. So, which means don't expect God to heal you in disobedience. Let us look at Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Whoever confesses and forsake his or her sins shall have mercy, shall find mercy. So God will only show mercy to those who repent, those who confess their sins and forsake their sinful ways. Those are the people God will show mercy to. So when the Bible says, when God spoke in the Bible saying, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. In fact, God went further to say in the Bible that he's going to show mercy even to the third generation of those that please him. We have some people today that they are reaping the good works of their parents and grandparents and ancestors. Those people, if you look at their lifestyle, they are not living a life that pleases God. But if you look at their lifestyle again, you're going to see God blessing them. You will see God helping them. And then you might be asking, why is God blessing these people, considering that they are living a life that is not good? I'm not talking about people that it is devil that is blessing them. I'm talking about people that it is God that is really blessing them. And then you look at, why is God blessing them, considering that they are not pleasing God with their lives? It could be because they had parents that did what was right in the sight of God. It could be because they had grandparents or ancestors that did what was right in the sight of God. So the mercy of God is so powerful that it will go even to the third and fourth generation. So which means, if you live a life that is pleasing to God now, it's not only you that will reap the benefit. Your children will reap it. Your children's children will reap it. And then your children's children, I don't know if that's the way to pronounce it. Many people in your generational lineage, they will reap the reward of your good works, the reward of your holiness and obedience. They will reap the reward. Praise the Lord. So that is why it is good to live a life that attracts God's mercy and God's compassion. Because that mercy we go down the line through your bloodline. Even after you have left this earth, your children will continue to enjoy the mercy. And even your children's children. Some of us are suffering today because of how much damage our ancestors did against God. Yeah. It's not that God has not destroyed the generational curse. It's just that whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. Yeah, the consequences of sin does not vanish away like that. Even though God has forgiven many of us, even though our ancestors did away, I mean, many of us in Africa, our ancestors, they were idol worshippers, they were human eaters, they eat human flesh. And they do a lot of human sacrifices. It's not that God has not forgiven us. Yeah, it's just that they did not get God's blessings for us to enjoy with the offsprings. What they got was curses, which God delivered us from. So now we have to get God's blessings with our faith. Yeah, so they never had any blessings from God to transfer to us. Yeah, all they got was curses from God. Curses from God. Yeah. So, but we now, who are in Christ Jesus, we are no longer under those curses. But our lives would have been very good and very wonderful if our ancestors got blessings from God for us. Yeah, if they got those blessings, because those blessings will also flow through their blood into our blood. But unfortunately, many of them did not get any blessings from God. Yeah, so that is why many people in Africa are suffering. Yeah. You might have another explanation to the suffering in Africa, but what I've just said is very much part of it. Yeah, what I've just said is one of the major reasons why we are suffering in Africa. So, let's look at the last point before we pray. Point number four. Sicknesses and diseases will return back when you go back into sin. Sicknesses and diseases will return back when you go back into sin. John chapter 5 verse 14. Let us look at it. John chapter 5. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. This verse is also similar to the verse where Jesus said, if you cast out an unclean spirit, or if an unclean spirit goes out of a man, and then the unclean spirit or demon went through dry places, looking for a good place to stay and couldn't find. And then Jesus said the unclean spirit will speak to himself, let me go back to my former habitation and check if the place is still okay for me to stay. Now, the unclean spirit goes back to the former habitation and then discover that the place is still well prepared for him to stay. Then Jesus said the unclean spirit would go and take 7 more spirits that are more wicked than itself, and they will enter into the life of that man. And Jesus said the latter end of that man will be far worse than when the demon was cast out of him. So the same thing is applicable to sicknesses and diseases. The same is applicable if you go back into sin. Expect sicknesses and diseases to return back. That's what I said in that point number 4. Sicknesses and diseases will return back when you go back into sin. Even weaknesses will return back. Infirmities will return back when you go back into sin. And this is why, if you look at those churches where they don't put much emphasis on living right with God, they don't put much emphasis on holiness, righteousness, purity, obedience to God, obedience to the word of God, to the will of God, you will see that the same people that got deliverance in a meeting that appears to be so charged with the Holy Ghost, in a meeting that appears to be so full of power, you're going to see that the same people who got deliverance will still become possessed again by the same demons and other demons. And because in another meeting, you see the same demon, not another demon, still manifesting, the same demon that left during a meeting. The same demon is still manifesting again in another meeting. So which means it is either they were never delivered at all, or the demon came back because they were living polluted lives. They were living lives that were not that wasn't pleasing in the sight of God. And not only that, in those kind of churches, you're going to see people who get healed today getting the same sickness. I mean, you see the sickness returning back to their bodies. Even after they got healed, they get the same sickness again. And some, they even get worse sickness. So that shows that there is no pure life to sustain the healing miracle they got. That was why the diseases were returning back. Yeah, they were not living in obedience to the word of God. So that was why they could not sustain the healing miracle. That was why the problem came back. The sicknesses came back. The diseases came back. I pray for you that your sicknesses will not come back. Your diseases will not come back in the name of Jesus. But you have a work to do. You have to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. So we're going to pray now. And after that, I will pray for you and pray on your water. I want you to talk to God. The topic says healing follows obedience. Healing follows obedience. So which means disobedience destroys healing. Obedience brings healing. Disobedience destroys healing. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, I come to you today with a repentant heart. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Forgive all my disobedience. Say, Father, I come to you today with a repentant heart. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Forgive my disobedience. Open your mouth and pray like that. Pray this prayer sincerely. So let it be that you really have a repentant heart. Let it be that all of the truth you have had in the teaching, you are now repenting, or you have now repented and you are going to start doing those things you have not been doing before. Say, Father, I come to you with a repentant heart. A heart that is now ready to obey your word. A heart that is now ready to do your will. I come to you with a repentant heart. A heart that is now ready to follow your ways, to please you, to do things that are right in your sight. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive my disobedience. Forgive all my disobedience. Forgive all my disobedience. In the name of Jesus, forgive all my foolishness in the name of Jesus. Forgive all my wrong attitude toward you, wrong conscience toward you. Oh Lord, forgive. I hope you are praying like that. Oh Lord, forgive me in the name of Jesus. Forgive me, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, the last prayer you're going to pray before, I will pray on the water. You're going to talk to the Lord. You're going to say, Father, I acknowledge that obedience provides continuous healing. You're going to say, Father, I acknowledge that obedience connects me with your healing flow, with your uninterrupted healing flow, healing anointing, healing covenant. Say, oh Lord, help me to live a life of complete obedience to your word, complete obedience to your will. Open your mouth and pray like that. Pray like that. Say, Lord, I acknowledge that obedience to your word provides continuous healing, which leads to continuous health. Help me, Lord, to obey you fully with all my life. Talk to him like that. Say, Lord, I acknowledge that obedience brings about continuous healing. Obedience allows your healing power to work in my life every second, whether I'm aware or not, whether I feel it or not. Obedience allows your healing grace, your healing covenant to work in me every second. Oh Lord, I agree with this. And that is why I'm asking that you help me to obey you fully so that I can enjoy this healing covenant. Help me to obey you completely in every area of my life. Help me to walk in obedience to your word, obedience to your will, obedience to your ways. Help me, Lord, to deny the flesh and walk in the spirit. Help me to follow all the instructions spelled out in the Bible. Help me to be a spiritually minded Christian, heavenly minded Christian, not a worldly minded, not a carnal minded Christian. Help me to follow the Bible in its totality. Help me, Lord, to be obedient so that I can enjoy this heavenly health provision. Thank you, faithful Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to pray for you and also pray on your water. Now, I don't want you to underestimate the power of God that is backing up this program, of backing up this Healing Streams program. Yeah. Don't just see it as there's nothing special in this water. Apostle said, get water, and I'll pray on it. or he prays on it, and then we drink it. Yeah, it's just normal. It's not normal. Yeah. So don't look down on the power of God that is following this program. Yeah, we might not be many, but I don't care. There's a reason why I decided to limit the access. How do I put it? There's a reason why I did not publicize this program. Yeah, otherwise more people would have joined. Why is and one of the reasons is because I want you to be the one who publicizes the program after you have seen the results it's doing in you. Yeah, there's a way the power of God publicizes itself. Yeah, I remember that we were doing the program was going on Facebook. I just decided to stop. Though not that I intentionally stopped, the Holy Spirit told me to stop, that the people are not taking it serious. Yeah, that they are not taking the program serious. Yeah, so I think some of those people, they might take my articles, they might take time to read it, but I realize that they are not even taking time to watch those videos. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit said I should stop for now. Yeah, so which means the Holy Spirit is all about getting results. It's not just all about gathering people together. Yeah. Yeah, the work of God is all about results, not just gathering crowds. Yeah, so if I want the attendance here to increase, I know what to do to bring people. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit said I should not do that. Yeah, He wants you that are here, after you have experienced God's power, to go and bring people. Yeah, to join the program because you have seen it work in your life. And how is it going to work if you think it's just ordinary prayer? Apostle just pray. And he just pray for us like that, pray on water. It's just ordinary water. It's not ordinary water. Yeah, it's not. I was talking to someone some time ago, not long, that the power of God that follows this healing streams water is able to bring the dead back to life. Because I know what is going into the water when I'm praying. I can see what is going into the water when I'm praying. Yeah. So I said, I know what it can do. But because people look down on God's power, they feel like it's nothing. So that is why it will do little or nothing in their lives. Yeah. So, release your faith and let God help you through this program. Yeah, I just feel like some of you need to hear this. And let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have revealed to us here today. Thank you for showing us that healing follows obedience. Thank you for showing us that we can have good health and never fall sick again by connecting with your healing covenant through obedience to your word. Thank you, Lord, for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your great love and mercy you have for everyone here. Thank you for your determination to help every life, to touch every life, and to bless every life. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that in your mercy, deliver your people from every consequence of their disobedience. O Lord, deliver your people now. In the name of Jesus, whatever is going on in the lives of your people right now that are the consequences of their sinful actions, Lord, I ask that in your mercy, take away these consequences right now in Jesus' name. I pray for you that the hand of God creates in you a new heart that obeys God naturally without struggle. A new heart that obeys God's voice naturally without struggle. Receive such hearts right now in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will not only get healing and deliverance from the Lord, you will also be empowered to go out there and minister divine healing on people, to go out there and cast out demons from people. So shall it be for you in Jesus' name. O Lord, I ask that your fire possess the water your people have presented before you. Let your fire, your fire of healing, your fire of deliverance, let it possess this water right now in the name of Jesus. Let your hunger walk through this water to destroy every work of the devil going on in the lives of your people. Let your hunger walk through this water to destroy every root of sicknesses, root of diseases. Right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for you that through this water, the power of God shall flood your entire being. The power of God shall flood your soul, flood your spirit, flood your body. And the power of God shall transform you into the person God wants you to be. There shall be a mighty revival inside of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.